All right. How many of you all are excited for what God wants to do in your life this week? Huh? That God wants to do something in and through you. We are in the series called Share, and the challenge is that we need to begin to be a little bit more vocal in sharing our faith. We need to be a little bit more out there in being His witness. And so last week we talked about the MyCloud account, and I saw some of you put your cards in the prayer, on the prayer wall. That was an index card of people's names that are close to you, people that you care about, some family members. You can still add, we can still add to that account. The space is not full yet, so we can still add some prayer accounts to that. I was praying over that wall this week. I'm praying for God to begin to stir in the hearts of people that you know that you care about. Some of them are your family members. Some of them are just your friends or your coworkers. And we begin praying that God begins to stir in our hearts. And this week, now that we've done all of our work and we've looked at our profile and we've got our account set up, and we got to hit send. We just have to hit send. We have to go out and invite people to the truth of who God is. What do you think? What do you think? So look at your name and say, you've got to hit send. You've got to hit send. You know what you need to preach. You know what you need to say. You know what needs to be said. Now don't just leave it queued up. Let's hit the send button. All right, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. I want to read in Acts chapter 1, first few verses there. In the first book, O Theophilus, this is the author of Luke. This is Luke who wrote Acts. He wrote the Gospel of Luke. This is the second volume of Luke's account of Jesus' ministry on earth, was in Luke. And now he's writing the second volume of when the Holy Spirit descends on the church. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together as a church to worship you, to serve you, to learn more from you, to fellowship with one another, to give to your kingdom work. Lord, and to pray and to invite others to your kingdom. And I pray, God, that we would take the message serious today, that we would be a people who hit send and we invite others to know you. So, Lord, this morning I pray that you'd give us ears to hear. Lord, if someone today does not know you, may they hear from you today. May your Holy Spirit speak life into them, and may they receive eternal life through your grace. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Acts chapter 1, in the first few verses here, we have a lot of a lot to look at, because this is Jesus setting up the motion of his church. This is him telling the disciples, it's time to hit the send button. He tells them that I'm about to go, I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans, right? He told them that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. That John baptized with water, but I'll come to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so when he was talking with them, he was letting them know that something is about to happen. Something new is about to happen. On the cross of Calvary, he cut the new covenant by his bloodshed on the cross. When he rose from the grave, he secured that, sealed that, ensured eternal life for everyone who would believe in him. And now he is going to empower them. So Jesus has, he does one clear thing. He gives them a clear purpose for what he has for his followers to do. And that is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. Now that is the number one purpose for your life as a believer, is to be a witness for the glory of God. That your life is to be a witness. Now notice when they're talking with Jesus, they get some preoccupied with some questions, don't they? And one of the questions they ask Jesus is it at this time that you're going to restore all things to Israel, right? We all have a tendency, we always want to know the things that are only God's to know. Huh? How many of us, we want to know the future? How many of y'all ever would like to say, man, I'd like to know the future? We want to know what's going to happen. And many times we think, God ought to tell us what's going to happen. You know, it'd be nice. And they're like, so Jesus, is this when you're going to wrap everything up? Is this when you're going to restore all things to the kingdom? And Jesus makes it very clear that they don't need to be worried about some of the questions that they have no power or no authority to even control. He says, it is not for you to know the day or the hour or the seasons of when the Father has fixed. Okay? So that's very important, isn't it? Because what can happen to us as believers? Can we ever lose our purpose? Can we ever get sidetracked by good things, but not the best thing? How many of y'all ever got sidetracked by something, you know, that was not bad, but it just kind of got you off course. Anybody? And so Jesus wants to make it clear that you don't need to get sidetracked by these questions that really you have no authority over. You have no control over. It's not within your power to be able to set the date of when he's going to make all things new. That's not in your pay grade. Amen? That's not in their pay grade. He says, but here's what you do have, and here's what I want you to be about. You are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if Jesus clarifies for us one simple truth, don't you think we ought to be about that? Huh? I like simplicity. What about you? I don't like over-confusing things. That's why it takes me so long to catch up with technology, because they're always changing it and they're always improving it, and it gets too complicated. It's too many buttons, right? That's why I was, you know, when I was in high school and stuff, I really liked to play video games. I like Nintendo. And I liked Nintendo because it had an A and a B button and a pad, and that's it. Well, now you've got to be a NASA scientist to figure out how to operate one of those controllers because there's so many buttons and functions on it. So I'm out. Too complicated. I like simplicity. Here's simplicity. Go be my witness. And I think the problem with the church is that we have thought that that's too simple and that we've got to go deeper, but how do we go deeper than the charge that Jesus gave? Jesus gave a great commission in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and bring people to Jesus. Hit the send button. You know what we get caught up in all of the deep philosophical thoughts of things, and it can bog us down, huh? I wonder if what would have happened if the disciples would have got together and they would have started doing some type of theorizing and speculation about, you know. So now when Jesus was lifted up into the heavens, did he raise his right arm first or was his left arm first? And I believe we probably could have had a whole discussion about that. Maybe had a denomination, the Right Hand Baptist Church. No. It was his left hand that went up first. I clearly saw it. And we'd have the Left Hand Baptist Church. Then you'd have some groups wondering if it was predestined that his right hand was lifted up first or his left hand. And we would be talking about all of the things about how he ascended into heaven and forget the very message of the task that he said, go and be my witness. So church, at Living Water, we've always been very simple. We've had one focus, and that is the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. We want to emphasize who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus can do, that he came to save sinners, and he came to give us life everlasting, and all of those who hope and put their faith and trust in Jesus and repent of their sin and turn and trust to him can be forgiven of their sin and be given the promise of the Holy Spirit that gives them the assurance of eternal life through Christ Jesus. How many of y'all know that there's great news to share, that we don't have to die in our sin, we don't have to be separated from God, we can be redeemed, restored, and made right, and made whole, and know the God who made us, and live forever with him. How many of y'all think that sounds like good news? Because man has got a problem, right? We've been talking about this, our whole conversation piece. God had a design for us at the beginning. And God's design was that we would know him and that we would have fellowship with him and we would walk and according to his plans, right? And because God designed us and made us, he loves us. He cares about you. If you think that God doesn't care about you, I want you to know he does. He cares about every single person here in this place. He cares about you. He cares about your life, he cares about your relationships, he cares about your marriage, he cares about your parenting, he cares everything about you because he made you. But man's got a problem, don't we? We depart from God's design, we think we know better, and we don't listen to what God says, and we go our own way. The Bible calls that sin, and that leads to death, which in the world looks like brokenness. Dead things, broken things. Broken lives, broken hopes, broken dreams, broken relationships. Things in the world that's not right. You read the news and you say, things aren't right. It just seems like it's going downhill. Yes, everything it is, it's going downward. Everything's broken. But there's good news, and that good news is called the gospel, that Jesus, the Son of God, came and he lived God's design perfectly, and he took our sin, he took our shame, and he died on the cross for our sin. That's my sin, that's your sin, and that he died, and they placed him in a tomb, and he rose again on the third day, and that right there testified that he was indeed who he said he was, the Son of God that conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says if we will repent of our sin, that means to change our mind or to turn away from our sin and trust in Jesus and believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sin, rose from the grave, says we will be saved, we'll be forgiven. And what do? Then we live a life that we have been redesigned by Christ. If anybody is Christ, he is a new what? Creation or creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So we recover and we pursue a life for God. And what do in that pursuit? We be a witness. We hit the sin button. We have to hit the sin button. We have to be a witness. We can't just sit there and look at all the things that God has done. We can't just talk about all the things that God has done. We can't just get in our holy huddles and talk to each other about what God has done. We have to go beyond that and go out into the world and say, there is a God who loves you, a God who made you, and a God who's made a way for you to know him. We've got the greatest news to share. And so we need to hit the share button. We need to hit send, and we need to make him known. He empowered them. He led them. He guided them. The purpose was to be his witness, and he gave them the power to be that witness. How? Through the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so when they got together, they got to the upper room, and they did a radical thing. They did what he said to do. Isn't that just radical? He said, go and wait. Whew. I could just see right now somebody wanting to get ahead of Jesus. But don't you think we ought to go ahead and get this thing started? No. Why? Because Jesus said, wait. I'm glad they listened. I'm glad they were patient. I'm glad they waited in the upper room. Because if you try to do things when God hasn't empowered you to do it, you won't be successful. You won't do it. But when God empowers you, you can be a witness. How many of y'all know that you, if you are a born-again believer, if you have received the Spirit of God, you can be a witness for him because he has given you the power to do it. That's the Holy Spirit. And so they waited in the upper room. And it says, the Holy Spirit came and descended upon them as tongues appearing as a fire. And they began to speak under the power of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other languages. And on the day of Pentecost, when all of these people from different tribes, tongues, and nations began to gather around to worship the Lord. And Peter began to speak and others began to speak. They began speaking in languages that they didn't even know they were speaking. They were Galileans. And then there was people from all different tongues and tribes and nations. They start scratching their head and they're going, what's going on? We can hear them speaking. We can hear them speaking in our own tongue. And that Greek word there is even the dialect. They were speaking the very dialect of what those people were there. You know, so if Eastern Kentucky boy was there, they'd start hearing him speak hillbilly. You know, they would hear him in their own tongue. And they didn't know what was going on. And Peter said, this is what was prophesied by Joel, that in the last days I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And the purpose of that was so that the tongue of Jesus may be spoken. I believe every person at Living Water Church who is a believer in Jesus, you should speak the tongue of Jesus. You should speak his name. You should share his good news. You should be a witness because that's what he's empowered you to be. You will be my witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You're like, well, that's good, but we're not in Jerusalem or Judea, Samaria. Well, where is your Jerusalem? Right here where we live. You could start it in your family, then you could go to your workplace, and then you could go out. You could start it in Montgomery County and then go out. Start it close, then go out. Everywhere you go, in your MyCloud account, the people around you that's closest to you, that's your Jerusalem. than as you begin to go out. I hope you've been able to have some conversations this week. And again, invite people to come. Invite, engage in gospel conversations. Pray with people. You have one of these. This is going to be a reminder. Don't let me forget to talk about this at the very end of the service. Explain that. Share and talk. And so the early disciples, guess what? They were empowered and passionate with the gospel that in Acts chapter 2, we see that 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And then in Acts 2:42, we see the community of believers coming together and living out their faith. And the Bible says day by day, the Lord added to their number. Wow. That's exciting, isn't it? Isn't it exciting to know that people can get saved on a Monday? I know that we don't like Mondays, but God created Monday, and people can get saved even on a Monday. Wouldn't it be, this would be my dream. This would be my dream as pastor at Living Water Church. But I'd start getting phone calls from you all saying, "Hey, Pastor, man, I just led my friend to the Lord. They prayed to receive Jesus. I just led my spouse to the Lord. I just led my brother to the Lord. I just led this person I work with to the Lord. I was in Walmart, and God just gave a divine appointment, and I just started striking up a conversation with somebody I didn't even know, but they prayed to receive Jesus as Lord." Wouldn't that be exciting if those conversations, those phone calls happen on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday? And then what would Sunday look like then? Woo! Because we're all out being a what? We've hit the what button. The send or the share button. We've hit it. In Acts chapter 3, there's a lame beggar, and he's begging for money, and he comes to Peter and John, and he's begging for money, and Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold, I have none, but what I have I give you. I say in the name of Jesus, arise and walk." And he got up, and he began walking, and it amazed the crowds, and people came to faith that day. There is a story of Thomas Aquinas, and he was with the Pope, and the Pope was counting out some money, and as they were looking at the money that had been given that day, the Pope said, "The church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold, I have none.'" And Aquinas said, "Yes, and neither can she say to the lame, 'Arise and walk.'" I fear that we trust more in what we can do than what he can do. And it's very dangerous when we become financially affluent to the point that where we feel like we don't need God's power anymore. Our denomination, I think, is on a verge of slipping into that as we talk a lot about our cooperative program giving, but yet not much is said about the increase of baptisms because it's not happening. But giving financially is something we can do, but raising dead people alive is only something God can do. And salvation is by the work and the power of God. And the thing that needs to happen is when is God's people to begin to seek the power of the Lord. I would rather be in a place where it seemed like it was falling apart, but the presence of God was there, wouldn't you? Now, if you can have both a nice place to worship and the power of God, I'm going to take both, amen? But if I have to take one, I'm going to take the power of God every time. We need the power of God working through us. So don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on your own strength. We have to live out and be a witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, they get arrested. They get told, quit preaching in the name of Jesus. And they said, we can't not preach in the name of Jesus. We can't stop talking about Jesus. And so they called a church prayer meeting together. And guess what? They didn't protest. They didn't whine. They didn't complain. They didn't cry about the official saying, you can't talk about Jesus. No, you know what they did? They prayed together and they prayed for boldness to speak the word of God even more. And it said the place in which they prayed, the house shook. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what decisions our politicians make. They're not God. They can't stop God. No nation can stop God. No government can stop God. No communist party can stop God. They have tried it and they have failed. Read history. Jesus is victorious. His church wins. Jesus said that hell, no gates of hell will stop his kingdom. His kingdom goes on. So we as a church, guess what we do? We pray and we depend on the power of God, and we are to constantly be his what? Witness. We are to share. Acts 6, the numbers still begin to increase. At the end of Acts 4, it says 5,000 now have come to know the Lord. Now, these 3,000 that were added on the day of Pentecost, guess what they did? They all didn't stay in Jerusalem. They were there at Jerusalem for a festival. So what happens when court day's over? Does all of the vendors just stay here in Montgomery County, and all the people that come through Montgomery County, do they just stay in Montgomery County? No. Where do they go? They go home, or they go back to another place to sell things. On the day of Pentecost, when all these people from all different tribes, tongues, and nations heard the gospel and were saved, did they just stay in Jerusalem? No. Where did they go? They went back home. And what did they take with them when they went back home? The gospel. They took their witness. Okay? You see how this works? See how this works? It's pretty simple. One person telling another person about the good news of Jesus. And it just begins going viral. 5,000 is now added to the church. The numbers are increasing. Stephen's martyred in Acts chapter 7. And in Acts 8, it says, then there arose a great day, a persecution against the church in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. If we can't arrest them, if we can't tell them to stop talking about Jesus, then we will start killing them and putting them in prison. That'll stop them. And the church scattered. It says the church scattered. And then it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, now those who were scattered as the church, who's the church? Talk to me. We are Christians, okay? This wasn't just the preachers, right? We say, okay, the church at Living Water. Not just me, it's all believers, right? The church was scattered. Now catch this, Acts chapter 8, go home, read it, look at it. And those who were scattered, that's the church, that's believers, went about, the ESV says preaching, I wish they would have used a different word because the Greek word there really is evangelizing. They went out, euglion. They went out evangelizing. What's evangelizing? Telling people about the good news about Jesus. Who did that? The church did it. Who's the church? You are. Everybody. men and women alike, as you go out into your workplaces, as you go everywhere you go, you're telling people about who? Jesus. Who can tell people about Jesus? Every believer. Why? Because every believer has been empowered by who? The Holy Spirit. Therefore, everybody can hit the send button. Somebody say amen. Let's hit this thing. Let's do it. Acts chapter 17. By the time Acts 17, you read it, the Christians were accused of turning the world upside down. Man, what about that? Accused of turning the world upside down, and by Acts chapter 19, historians say that 8.2 million people heard the gospel within the first 2 years of the church. That started with a group of men and women in the upper room. Now, 8.2 million didn't all respond to the gospel, but 8.2 million heard the gospel. Write this down. If you're taking notes, write this down. I don't have it on the screen. I should have, but I didn't. But here we go. Write this down. It should be our desire as a church. Here it is. Here's our goal. Why are we going to hit send? Here it is. We want every resident in our communities, okay? That's our communities, where we live, where you live. That's not just Montgomery County. That's where everywhere you live in your area. We want every resident in our communities to have repeated opportunities to hear and respond to the good news. That should be the heartbeat of Living Water Church, that we want every resident in our communities to hear, to have repeated opportunities to hear and respond to the good news. What happens when you start talking to people about Jesus and inviting somebody to church, and then somebody else starts asking the same person that you talked to that you didn't know that they knew, but you both knew the same person, and then one of the third service person people here in this church that you don't even know goes to this church also asks that same person, and about in a week's time, this individual has had about four or five people invite them to Living Water Church or talk to them about Jesus. What do you think that person might start thinking? Maybe the Lord is wanting to say something to me. Amen? Many will believe and many will repent. The Holy Spirit wants to do what he did in the first days, months, and years of the church. And in order for that to happen, here's what we have to be serious about. You ready? We got to get serious. We have to be serious about reaching people who are far from God. I don't want any of you all to ever say that person is too far gone, or he would never be saved, or she could never be saved. Because with the power of the Holy Spirit, he can take someone who was persecuting the church, giving approval to kill Christians, and make them the greatest missionary that we know. That's Paul, by the way. Secondly, we got to get serious about the Great Commission. We have to be focused on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, period. The good news. Because I tell you what, the day you breathe your last breath, you know what's going to matter? Do you know Jesus? All this other stuff ain't going to matter. How much money you have, it's not going to matter. What kind of house you lived in, not going to matter. What boards you served on, not going to matter. None of that's going to matter. But what is going to matter is, do you know Jesus? So we got to get serious about the Great Commission. The Great Commission says, go make disciples. You got to be a believer. You got to know Jesus. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to follow Jesus through baptism. If you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. Why is that important? Because that's the first thing Jesus said, go do. And if we're going to follow him, and if he says go do it, guess what we ought to do? Do it. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. Knowing what God says to do and living it out. Being the type of people he's called us to be. That's important. We got to get serious about the power of prayer and the Holy Spirit. Now, we spent 16 weeks on prayer. We don't stop. I read Acts again this week. I reread it. I highlighted the entire book. I went through and I was. And here's what I know. That the early church were men and women of prayer and believed in the power of prayer, which is what empowered them to be bold witnesses and to hit the send button. That prayer wall, it's not a gimmick. That's not something we're doing to be cute. It really matters. Those names matter. I know they matter to you if you wrote them down. They matter to me as your pastor. I know they matter to Pastor John. More importantly, they matter to God. And we got to get serious about having gospel conversations. So you have one of these. I challenge you, church, as well as myself, to have a gospel conversation with someone. On the back of this, it says, I shared the good news. How did you share the good news? I invited someone to church. If you invited someone to church, you check that box. I prayed with someone. Maybe I just asked somebody, how can I pray with you? And I prayed with them, and we began talking a little bit about Jesus. Check that box. I engaged in a gospel conversation, meaning that I talked to them about the good news of Jesus. And then the last one, I shared the plan of salvation. I actually then asked them, hey, would you want to pray to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior? So there's options here of how to engage in different types of conversations. And here's the goal. I'm going to challenge you to have at least one this week. You've got one card. We're going to have more of these printed. They're going to be here for you in case you lose it, and I've already bent mine up. And then I want you to return it. We're going to create a little wall out here where we're going to hang these. And we're going to start seeing how many gospel conversations that we've had as a church. I wonder what it would look like if we have a wall full of these little cards of conversations. So Eric texted me this week. Man, I loved that text this week. Said, hey, pray for my sister-in-law because I talked to her about Jesus. That's a gospel conversation. That's a good text. I love that text. I love those type of things. I had somebody message me on Messenger. She's a teacher. Her name's Melissa. She said, hey, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. After your message last week, I'm opening up my room one day a week to have prayer with any of the teachers who want to come and pray before school starts. She had 8 people show up first day. I like that. I like that because here's what happens. It was not the pros, it was the Joes who carried the gospel. I'm not going to win this county. Pastor John's not going to win this county. We're just one person. Our impact is this. But when we look at the collective whole of Living Water Church and everyone that you all know and all the people that you have, then look how much bigger the impact of the kingdom of God has just increased. When you go out and hit send, when you share the good news. Teenagers, I ordered these books from the Gideons. This is the Gospel of John. It's written in a youth version for a youth. My challenge for you, teenagers, is during the altar, during the invitation, adults, your challenge is to come and pray as well for maybe somebody that you are going to want to share this with. You might not know who the person is. It might just come this week, who knows, but to pray for God to give you God's confirmation. Teenagers, I want you to grab two of these. Two. Not one, but how many? Two. Why? Because I don't want just you to read it. I want you to invite one of your friends to read it along with you. And maybe one day a week, or every day through chat and snap, and however you all do it, that you talk about it with each other. Okay? It's time to get serious with the gospel. It's time to release it. It's time to hit send. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you're moving. You're moving. You're here with us. Your spirit is speaking. Lord, there's someone today that's in the presence right now. They don't know you. They've never accepted you as Lord and Savior. And today you're speaking to them. You're drawing them. You're letting them know that you've got a purpose for their life. You've got a plan for them, that you love them, that you died for them, that you have given them hope everlasting. If they would just have faith and belief in Jesus. And so we pray, God, that you'd begin speaking, moving. Lord, lay a burden on our heart as a church to hit sin, to share, to have conversations with people about you, that we're empowered by the Holy Spirit and we have the ability and the authority to do so. And I pray for our teenagers, God. Lord, raise them up to continue to do great things for your kingdom and let them take this challenge of reading the Gospel of John with a friend seriously. And may we invite someone into your presence, Lord. Increase us. Call us to a higher place of faithfulness to you, that we go and hit send in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand, let's respond, and let's pray. Who's going to be the first teenager to come and be the first one to break it out and say, I'm going to get one of those? Let's respond, let's pray, let's sing, let's worship.